Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 19th of May, 2026. I've been reading since well before sunrise, and what I've got for you today is, more than anything else, a writing day. Three of the four pieces I want to walk you through are essays rather than papers, and the technical density lives in the framing and the receipts rather than in benchmark tables. The Musk versus Altman verdict broke late yesterday afternoon and reshaped the industry news side of the digest. Let me get into it. First up is Simon Willison's lightning talk from PyCon US, posted last night under the title, The Last 6 Months in LLMs in 5 Minutes. 5 minutes spoken, longer when you read the annotated slides, and worth more than its length because Simon is one of the best synthesizers we have when the model release cadence gets noisy. His core claim is that November of 2025 was the inflection point. In that single month, the supposedly best frontier model, measured on vibes more than anything formal, changed hands 5 times. Claude Sonnet 4.5 was the September baseline. It was overtaken by GPT 5.1, then by Gemini 3, then by GPT 5.1 Codex Max, and then Anthropic took the crown back with Claude Opus 4.5, 5 swaps in 4 weeks. But Simon argues the more durable November story is not which lab held the top of the leaderboard. It is that the coding agents crossed a usability threshold. OpenAI and Anthropic had spent most of 2025 running reinforcement learning from verifiable rewards against their Codex and Claude code harnesses, and by November, the compounding effects became apparent. The agents went from often work to mostly work, usable as daily drivers, not as toys you babysit. The other half of the talk is about the rise of personal AI assistants Simon collectively calls Claws. After the breakout success of OpenClaw, which started life as a quiet repo called Wearlay in late November, went through several rename cycles and exploded into the public conversation in February. McMinis started selling out around Silicon Valley because people were buying them as the aquarium for your claw, local hardware to host a personal assistant. And on the open side, the April releases pushed things into new territory. Google's Gemma 4 series, the most capable open-weight release Simon has seen from a U.S. lab, GLM 5.1 from China, 754 billion parameters, 1.5 terabytes, drew Simon a credible pelican riding a bicycle and a genuinely impressive animated North Virginia opossum on an e-scooter that other models cannot match, and Quen 3.6, the 35 billion a 3 billion variant, drew a better pelican on a laptop resident 21-gigabyte model than Claude Opus 4.7 did. Simon's synthesis, the coding agents got really good and the laptop available models have started wildly outperforming expectations. That is the 6 month story in 2 sentences. Moving on to our second story, Jack Clark published Import AI 457 yesterday, and it is the kind of issue that earns the newsletter its reputation. 3 threads worth pulling on. The first is SentinelOne's teardown of a piece of malware called Fast16.sys, a 20-plus-year-old Windows driver that predates Stuxnet by about 5 years and appears to have been engineered to sabotage high-precision scientific computation rather than do anything visible to the operator. Unlike typical malware that hijacks execution flow, Fast16's distinctive payload is a self-contained block of x87 floating-point unit instructions performing precision arithmetic and array scaling. It is a standalone mathematical function that quietly mutates results inside specific simulation suites. SentinelOne ran their Yara signatures against a period-appropriate corpus and got fewer than 10 matches, but those matches clustered around LS-DFNA 970 PKPM. And the MOHID hydrodynamic platform, tools used in crash testing, structural analysis, environmental modeling. LS-DFNA in particular has been cited in public reporting on Iran's suspected violations of Section T of the JCPOA and in studies of computer modeling relevant to nuclear weapons development. Clark's frame on this is that a sufficiently capable AI system that wanted to slow rival AI programs might prefer this kind of subtle scientific computation corruption over visible attacks because it leaves the target convinced their results are real. The second thread is Tilda Research's autopsy of Muon, the optimizer that has gotten popular over the last year. Tilda shows that Muon inherits Rho Norm anisotropy on tall matrices, which causes a significant portion of neurons in mixture of experts layers and in dense MLPs to permanently die during learning rate warm-up. More than 1 in 4 neurons effectively flatline by step 500. Their replacement, called Aurora, is a leverage-aware optimizer for rectangular matrices, trained on 1.1 billion parameter transformers on 100 billion tokens. Aurora reaches a final smoothed loss of 2.26 against Muon's 2.31 and Normuon's 2.33, with the MMLU score jumping 10 points over Muon. Pleiess's Alexander Doria independently replicated this on a 600 million parameter model, or whether Aurora beats Adam W is still open. The third thread is a position paper on what the authors call positive alignment, a consortium spanning Oxford, DeepMind, OpenAI, Anthropic, UCLA, Stanford, Tufts, Imperial, and a half dozen smaller institutions, arguing that the field's negative alignment focus on failure mode reduction leaves AI systems in a local optimum of, in their phrase, superficial and soulless assistance. Their argument is that once safety is solved, we still have to confront the question of what the good life looks like, and that question requires polycentric, decentralized governance rather than the centralized control mental model some safety researchers default to. Third up, Anthropic announced yesterday that it has acquired Stainless, the New York startup that builds the SDK generation tooling used by Anthropic itself, OpenAI, Google, and Cloudflare, among others. Terms were not disclosed. The strategic logic has two layers. The visible layer is developer experience, maintaining first-class clients in Python, TypeScript, Go, Java, and other languages across an evolving REST surface is a long-tail engineering burden that producers consistently underinvest in. And Stainless's generator emits typed clients with handwritten ergonomic shims, retries, streaming, and pagination wired in. Anthropic pulling that team in-house tightens the loop between the messages API surface and the canonical clients that any third-party SDK is implicitly referenced against. The less visible layer, which the information's coverage flags as the more interesting subplot, is that Anthropic now owns the supply chain for its biggest competitor's developer ergonomics. Whether the team continues serving OpenAI and Google under Anthropic ownership is unstated. The standard playbook is to honor existing contracts and gradually shift focus inward. Read against the rest of Anthropic's May, the cadence is striking. A $200 million Gates Foundation partnership 2 weeks ago, a compute deal with SpaceX, the new enterprise services company with Blackstone, Hellman and Friedman, and Goldman Sachs, PwC deploying Claude at scale, and now Stainless. That is the shape of a company stitching together the developer onboarding surface and the enterprise distribution arm end-to-end. While the foundation model side of the business, Opus 4.7, Sonnet 4.6, keeps shipping. TechCrunch reads the deal as less about Stainless's revenue, which is small by SaaS standards, and more about owning the developer surface as the API business scales toward the kind of volume Anthropic is now projecting publicly. And for our fourth and final story today, a California jury returned a unanimous advisory verdict yesterday afternoon in Musk versus Altman, ruling that Elon Musk's suit against OpenAI was filed too late and that his claims are barred by the statutes of limitations. Judge Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers accepted the advisory verdict immediately. The case had been pitched by Musk's team as a substantive challenge to OpenAI's conversion from a nonprofit research lab to a capped profit and then for-profit entity, alleging the conversion violated the founding mission. The jury never reached the merits. The timeliness question was dispositive. Musk has said he will appeal, characterizing the outcome as a calendar technicality rather than a judgment on the substance. The practical consequence is that OpenAI's path through its capped profit to for-profit transition is no longer encumbered by Musk's specific claim, which removes a meaningful constraint on its capital-raising posture and on the renegotiation with Microsoft. The information's coverage emphasizes the political dimension. The verdict arrived in the same week as the OpenAI Dell partnership for on-premises Codex deployments, the rumored Google Blackstone TPU cloud, and Jensen Huang's demand is going parabolic Dell Tech World keynote, itomi, all of which sharpened the OpenAI versus everyone else narrative going into Google's developer conference this week. TechCrunch frames Musk's appeal as procedurally weak. Jurors deliberated for less than a full day and reached unanimity, which suggests the underlying record on when Musk knew or should have known of OpenAI's commercial direction was not close. The verdict closes one of three Musk versus Altman litigation tracks. The XAI defamation suit and OpenAI's countersuit over the restraining order attempts remain pending. Several outlets note that the deeper effect is reputational rather than financial. OpenAI's board can now move with materially less litigation overhang as it negotiates the IPO timeline and the new training compute partnerships. That is the digest for this Tuesday morning. The thread that ties these four together, if there is one, is that we are watching the consolidation phase. The frontier model race has settled into a tight cluster. Anthropic, OpenAI, Google, with Chinese open weights closing on specific axes. And the action has moved to who can stitch together the developer surface, the enterprise distribution, the compute supply, and the legal footing fastest. A Simon's piece tells you the underlying capability is no longer the binding constraint. Jack's piece reminds you that the optimizer and alignment questions remain alive even as the product side races. The Stainless deal and the Musk verdict are both about clearing structural friction so the product side can run faster. For the full digest, there is more on the Vera CPU shipping to Frontier Labs, the Google Blackstone TPU cloud, Sandbox AQ's drug discovery models landing as Claude tools, and a strong run of archive papers on mixture of experts pruning, NVFP4 video infrastructure, and superposition geometry. Head to wolfdigest.com when you have a moment. I'll see you tomorrow.